Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
This is part 76 on my liberalism study. And last week I was talking about the Marble Collegiate Church in New York. Which is home to Marianne Williamson and her New Age seminars, and was home to arch-heretic Norman Vincent Peale. I think I referred to these two as part of a heresy sandwich that I wanted to discuss, and as I pointed out, Marianne Williamson is one of the main proponents of the Course in Miracles, which is a channeled, in other words, via spirit-dictated manuscript, a neo-Gnostic manuscript, which promotes doctrines of demons, including a heretical view of the atonement of Jesus Christ. I quoted from Mike Oppenheimer's Let Us Reason article, and I'd like to start off where I left off in that article, or go back to that article. Williamson believes her message appeals to people who seek Jesus, but without the judgment, the guilt, the punitive doctrine. You know, it's sort of like Burger King, right? A spiritual Burger King. Have it your own way. Talk about a heresy hamburger. And it also reminds me a bit of some of the emergent church leaders. I think I mentioned this last week. One of them had a book entitled, They Love Jesus Christ, But Not the Church, or something along that line. Now, I found an article in the news recently by an emergent church leader named Steve Chalk, who's from the UK, United Kingdom, who has also disdain for the biblical doctrine of the atonement. And in a book that I purchased a few years back by David Winscott called From Which Well Are You Drinking, this book exposes some of the dangers in the emerging church movement, and he mentions, Steve Chalk, says that he studied in London, was ordained a Baptist minister, and is a contributor, of course, to the emerging church movement discussions. And then on to page 34 in the same book, he had this to say. UK emerging church contributor Steve Chalk adds this. The fact is that the cross isn't a form of cosmic child abuse, a vengeful father punishing his son for an offense he has not even committed. And by the way, this doctrine of the atonement seems to be under attack from every quarter these days, more so almost than any biblical doctrine. But, the Shack and so many of these other liberals are really coming out strong. Anyway, the quote goes on, understandably, both people inside and outside of the church have found this twisted version of events morally dubious and a huge barrier to faith, according to Steve Chalk. Deeper than that, however, is that such a concept stands in total contradiction to the statement, God is love. If the cross is a personal act of violence perpetrated by God towards humankind, but borne by his Son, then it makes a mockery of Jesus' own teaching to love your enemies and to refuse to pay evil with evil. And I would say that he needs to take Biblical Christianity 101 class, because he's completely missed it, the point of Christianity. And this quote I just gave was from The Lost Message of Jesus by him, this author, Steve Chalk. And I would say that, this book titled The Lost Message of Jesus. Well, I'm afraid that the last message to Mr. Chalk is going to be, go away from me, I never knew you, unless he repents, unless he comes to, in humility, to our Lord and finds salvation only through Jesus Christ. Now, the article that I alluded to earlier is entitled, it's by Mark Woods, by the way, and it's from the Christian Today site. Forget original sin, says Steve Chalk. We are made originally good. Steve Chalk, the Baptist minister and founder of the Oasis Trust, who sent shockwaves through the evangelical community when he declared his support for same-sex relationships, has criticized the traditional Christian understanding of original sin. Says Chalk argues that a historic misreading of Genesis 3 has led to centuries of guilt and needless religiously induced shame. He says the doctrine mistakes the biblical view of God's relationship with humanity and has resulted in untold misery for generations of churchgoers. Chalk says Western readings of the story of Adam and Eve have been colored by St. Augustine's interpretation, which is different from understandings present in the Eastern Orthodox tradition. Well, let me say, who cares, about the Eastern Orthodox tradition? That's a salvation by works organization, so to speak. But anyway, I won't spend too much time about that. I'll just go on with the article. We make some assumptions that aren't there. He says the story of Adam and Eve and the eating of the fruit that's been forbidden from them doesn't mention original sin. It doesn't even tell us that the serpent is really Satan. My comment is, apparently Chalk has done the misreading, and probably because he's been listening to the serpent Satan himself and coming forth with this seducing spirit in this article, or in his teachings. Chalk says the Bible doesn't begin with Genesis chapter 3. It begins with Genesis chapter 1. In other words, it begins with the story that tells us we're all made in God's image. And God looks at humanity and says, this is very good. Then he goes on, Genesis chapter 3, the story that we've been told is about original sin, The story that we've been told is about original sin turns out to be, in the view of Hebrew scholars down through the ages, not about that at all, but about our journey to discover how to live well, etc., etc. Well, I would say probably no doubt some liberal Hebrew scholars, but the point is, I guess I would say is, this is why the world is such a paradise these days, right? Is because this is a perfect environment, and Genesis chapter 3 really didn't involve the fall of mankind, according to Steve Chalk. You know, we're originally good. Well, we're not good anymore, but anyway, let me move on. He says in the video he also argues that Jesus never intended to begin a new religion. And I would say no, he intended to bring a relationship. He concludes, following Jesus isn't about religion and all its paraphernalia. It's simply about walking a way of life with Christ. It's about being fully human. It's about becoming the best version of yourself and living intentionally. Love yourself. You're made by God. And I would say we already love ourselves according to the book of Ephesians. And I would, and actually this is the name of his online video resources, Love Yourself. And that's just what we need, is more self-love and less self-denial, right? Wrong. Now, if I have time, I will just quickly refer to Norman Geisler's Essential Doctrines Made Easy. The penalty for sin is death, not only physical death, separation of the soul from the body, but also spiritual death, separation of ourselves from God. The penalty we owe to God was paid by Christ through his death on the cross. The acceptable payment had to be perfect, complete, and without fault. Christ, the perfect man, gave himself in our place so that whoever believes in him will not die, but have everlasting life. And a couple of scriptures, you know, this is, of course, is talking about the atonement. 1 Peter 2:24, I won't read these for the sake of time, but it's talking basically about, and in 1 Peter 3:18, talking about Christ dying for us, bearing our sins in his body on the tree. And then I'll, of course, get in my John 14:6 verse, which I seem to get in every week. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And that's why, because he paid that price for our sins through the atonement. Now, a little bit more about Marianne Williamson from the Apologetic Index site. Students of the Course in Miracles are told that it was dictated by Jesus Christ himself over a seven-year period to emotionally tortured psychologist named Helen Schuschman. And it's interesting that she's not the first psychologist who really didn't benefit from psychology, but instead delved deep into the occult, which is, of course, what she was doing, was channeling. She was into spiritism and was deceived into thinking that Jesus Christ was using her to bring these terrible, seducing spirit teachings in the Course of Miracles. Now, Williamson has been the spiritual director of Renaissance Unity, formerly called Church of Today, in Warren, Michigan. Renaissance Unity is affiliated with the Unity School of Christianity, which is theologically a cult of Christianity. Of course, I've talked a lot about Unity. The article goes on from Probe Ministries, Russ White. Unity is best known by its publication of the Daily Word, used by many who are unaware of its doctrinal positions. Okay, so there's that connection with unity that I wanted to mention. And then, of course, again, back to the Let Us Reason article, one last quote from this that I meant to read last week and I ran out of time. It says, the course has been taught at Robert Schuller's Crystal Cathedral and has been embraced by psychologists. Of course, one psychologist dictated it, and even theologians. Many Christian churches are unaware of its danger and have incorporated its teachings. And of course, you see that connection there with Robert Schuller and the course, along with Marianne Williamson. And you know, you see them kind of in the same pea pod, peas in a pod, as they say. Now, I will get into that more next week. I know I'm not going to have time to get into much at all into Norman Vincent Peale, who, of course, was the pastor of the same church where Marianne Williamson is teaching these heresies. But I wanted to go in another little direction. I want to go back to the Wikipedia article on the Marble Collegiate Church that I was reading from last week to mention something that I hadn't dealt with last week and decided that I should probably say some things about it because of some other stories that are in the news these days. Talking about Norman Vincent Peale, it says Peale was the reason why the Trump family, and of course that's talking about Donald Trump, came to attend Marble Collegiate Church. Peale also officiated the first marriage of Donald to Ivana Trump in 1977. Marble's the church's minister, Arthur Calandrio, performed Trump's marriage to Marla Maples in the grand ballroom of the Plaza Hotel, owned at the time by Trump. So during his 2015-2016 run for the Republican Party's presidential nomination, Donald Trump claimed to attend Marble Collegiate Church. Marble stated that though he has a history with the church, Trump is not currently an active member of Marble's congregation. And the reason I bring this up is, you know, we need to pray for our president. And you'll see, we'll see more about what's going on in some of these other news stories and articles that I want to read from. But we need to pray for our president, as the scripture tells us in 1 Timothy. I have that reference. In fact, I'm going to refer to that later. But for right now, I want to move on to some articles that I picked up out of the news recently. And these articles, really, I guess I would term them, you know, not like the old Western movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, in that order. These three articles, I would actually probably turn around and say, this is the bad, the ugly, and the good. These three different articles, because of the sources from which they came from. Now, the first article, it was, if I didn't know better, I wouldn't know if this was a liberal or an atheist site, because I believe it is a liberal site, but they decided to borrow an article and publish an article from another site, which is known as the Friendly Atheist. And the author of this article is a man named Hemant Mehta. And this site where I got this article, of course, is called Pathos, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I would prefer Pathetic would be, I think, a better name for their site. But Pathos will have to do on my pronunciation. But I've come across them before, and I know they're very liberal. And so I guess they're real comfortable quoting an atheist, especially, you know, since they want to tell you what their how much authority they have and what they know about the Bible and what's really true and what's really Christian and all, because it's a liberal Christian site, of course. But anyway, the article is entitled, Seth Meyers Explores Donald Trump's Weird and Disturbing Embrace of Religion. Seth Meyers spent about 10 minutes Tuesday night, and this article came out on August the 1st, Tuesday night, talking about Donald Trump's faith. Seth Meyers, of course, is Well, I think they call him a comedian. I'm not sure. I've never found him particularly funny, and I don't really watch his program. But anyway, the wannabe comedian Seth Meyers was talking about Donald Trump's faith, his religious illiteracy, his embrace of televangelist Paula White, which, of course, is a problem, and I'll say a little bit more about that a little bit later. But anyway, the article goes on to say, and now this is the comments of this author, not Seth Meyer, but he's commenting on the fact that Seth Meyers was commenting about Trump. And this author says, President Obama was, at one point, demonized by the right for attending a church with a controversial pastor. Well, that would be Pastor Jeremiah Wright, who was very spiritually wrong, as we all know now, more of a Marxist, of course, than he was a Christian. Certainly a wolf in sheep's clothing, and certainly not a pastor. But Obama was demonized, rightfully so, for attending this church. The article, this author goes on to say, Trump is embraced because he hangs out with the ones who merely use religion as a way to make themselves rich. Well, there's an element of truth to that, of course, because some of the word faith people that Donald Trump apparently is not fully aware of their error in teaching, I would say. I don't know if Donald has ever been born again. Hopefully he has, and if he's a baby Christian, he's going to come out of that. Of course, he attended Peel's Church at one time. So it's shaky, but I would say things are improving, as we will see as I go from the bad, the ugly, to the good article. Anyway, he says that Trump is embraced because he hangs out with the ones who merely use religion as a way to make themselves rich. Obama was demonized for being a Muslim, which he wasn't. Of course, he was very supportive of Islam to the detriment of Israel. And that's my quote. While Trump is embraced for being a Christian, which he isn't in any meaningful way. And of course, this man knows, because he must be godlike and omniscient, right? Because he knows Trump's heart. But he goes on to say that none of that matters to the religious right. They embrace him because he gives them the access they want. It's never been about God. It's always been about power. They have it, which means Trump can get away with anything in their eyes. Now, that's a broad sweep, isn't it? The religious right. That would include word faith heretics, but it would also include, Vice President Pence, who's apparently a born-again Christian, or Franklin Graham, or other basically good Christian men of God who support Trump. Anyway, he lumps everyone into the same box and says that it's all about power. That's it. He knows this, you see. Somehow he knows. And when it says that Trump can get away with anything, I'm wondering what exactly he's talking about. Has there been anything proven that he's done anything? Well, anyway, I don't want to get too political here. But we know Barack Obama and Hillary. Talk about getting away with things. Okay, again, it's kind of avoid the political. It seems that we're coming to this place to where you can't completely avoid the political anymore because of the demons that are invading some of the political parties, to some degree maybe both, but for sure the Democratic Party, as we see their stance on abortion and same-sex marriage and some of the anti-Israel stances that they've taken. But anyway, I would say, at least Trump is battling against the anti-God globalism that Barack Obama, Hillary, and George Soros, who has contributed to their cause, is for. So, I personally believe God is using Trump. I don't know if he knows God or not, but I think it's very possible that he is using him because of his stance against globalism, which we remember, and I'll get into this a little bit more later, but we remember what happened at the Tower of Babel. When people in the world wanted to globalize. And I would say that when he says that, again, that he must be omniscient, this author, since he knows that these Christians aren't interested in God. He's saying all these Christians that are associated with Trump, they aren't interested in God, but just power. Well, I guess I've already kind of made that point. But I find that so incredibly arrogant. And yes, he may be an atheist, so that should be expected that he would be arrogant. But that this Patheos website, it claims to be Christian, are so quick to embrace this atheist is somewhat suspect, wouldn't you think? But actually, it's not that much of a surprise, because I don't see a real big difference between far-left fake Christianity and atheism in the practical sense. But anyway, when I say, you know, this is arrogant, let me just say it gets worse as we go from the bad to the ugly in the next article. And this one is from the New Civil Rights Movement by David Badash. And again, it was unclear, well, not totally unclear, as to whether this was a liberal site or just a, if you'll excuse the term, queer site. You know, I get so tired of having to rattle off all these letters, LGBTQ, because usually they're going to add a couple new letters, you know, the more perverse they get and the more evil that they want to put upon society or force us to accept. So, you know, just humor me as I save us all the extra time and effort of saying all those letters they want us to say. And I'll just say, apparently this is a queer site, but they call themselves the New Civil Rights Movement. And this title of this article is Trump Cabinet Secretaries attend Bible study led by extremist pastor who's not biblically qualified for spiritual leadership. Well, if anybody would know, I'm sure that these people at this website would really know what, you know, biblically qualified is all about. It says a large number of President Donald Trump's cabinet secretaries attend a weekly Bible study group led by a right-wing extremist pastor. And the group is sponsored by Vice President Mike Pence. Now, a right-wing extremist pastor, and this is coming, of course, from the Square website. Now, further down the page, it says nearly all cabinet officials attend Bible lessons with a right-wing pastor who compares Trump to biblical heroes, Sarah Burris says at Raw Story. And I would say, of course, at least, you know, they're not comparing Trump to the Messiah or to be the Messiah like they did Barack Obama. And of course, the Antichrist will appeal to these spiritual anarchists, because that's why Barack Obama's anti-God views vaulted him to this Messiah-like status, because of the Antichrist ideas and beliefs that he was forcing upon us all with the same-sex marriage, the abortion, etc., etc. I'm talking mostly about the social issues, but also the globalist, of course, the globalism things. So anyway, moving on, they say in 2009, California's Capital Weekly reported 5 board members resigned from Capital Ministries, of which Drollinger is president. And Mr. Drollinger, and I want to get his first name, he was a basketball player at UCLA, and I remember the day when he played. Ralph Drollinger is his name. But anyway, I don't know the details, of course, and none of us know the details. We just hear that, Drollinger's own board members deemed him not biblically qualified. And I'm thinking, well, it may be because they're compromised concerning some of his clear teaching from the Bible, as we will see, as this site has their own theologian, who obviously is very biblically qualified. You know, when you hear some of the things that she says, this theologian, who they look to and quote as being biblically qualified. But anyway, it says on the next page here, it says theologian Diana Butler Bass calls Drollinger's anti-woman, anti-Catholic, anti-queer, anti-Jewish stance, you know, is, of course, and that's the end of the quote, but you get the idea. And teaches God demands borders to keep nations separate with distinct categories. Citizens, immigrants, foreigners. Yeah, who'd ever think that God wanted borders? Who'd ever think that God, you know, how dare this man teach what God said in his word in Genesis 11 about not allowing them to come together and build the Tower of Babel into the heavens? You know, wow, God, who do you think you are? Let's let Diana Butler Bass, the theologian, tell us, you know, what is biblically qualified teaching. Now, and journalist Amy Sullivan who tweeted about the above stories, offers this interesting pushback. Hey, you know who was in a weekly Bible study for nearly 8 years, all 8 years in the White House, and nobody cared? Hillary Clinton. Well, there you go. And I would laugh out loud, but I'm trying to seriously get through this piece. Now, there's a voice of reason, isn't it? Hillary Clinton was attending a Bible study for 8 years. So, you know, with all the pro-baby killing and gay marriage, the demon channeling that she did in the White House with Jean Houston, the New Age leader who taught her how to channel demons and get in touch with spirits claiming to be other people like Eleanor Roosevelt, I think Jesus Christ or Mahatma Gandhi. And, of course, Hillary was a member of the United Methodist Church, probably still is, one of the most liberal denominations that there is. So, you know, you have to take, like, this is why I say it gets worse. It goes from bad to ugly in these reports. But I say we, of course, need to pray for Trump, President Trump, because there are, of course, those shady word faith people that he needs to really lose and stick with people like Drollinger, Mike Pence, and some of these men of God who are trying to make a difference. Anyway, the last article. This is the good one, in my opinion. Trump team attends weekly White House Bible study. Trump's cabinet is learning more about God's Word, by Randy DeSoto. Several members of President Donald Trump's cabinet, as well as Vice President Mike Pence, are meeting together for a weekly Bible study at the White House. CBN News reported that Trump's cabinet has been called the most evangelical in the history of the country. Now, let me just say this. Just because CBN reports on it doesn't mean make it bad, okay? I'm no fan of CBN or Pat Robertson. You know, he's gone on record as making false prophecies. But they decided to take this story, and it's being quoted in this article. Doesn't make the, like I say, just because CBN reports on it doesn't make it bad. Of course, the problem is the world can't separate the wheat from the tares. And which is part of the reason why, you know, we're persecuted. As true Christians, they can't see the difference. Or they use that as an excuse, perhaps. But anyway, Pence, who described himself as a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order, attends the study as often as his busy travel schedule permits. The study is led by former NBA player Ralph Drollinger, who played for the UCLA Bruins under legendary coach John Wooden. Wooden was also an evangelical Christian who sought to coach his team integrating Christian principles. After his retirement from the NBA, Drollinger founded Capital Ministries, which has launched Bible studies in 40 state capitals as well as several foreign nations. Its mission is to evangelize and disciple public servants. The organization also leads weekly studies at the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives. Drollinger told CBN News about a dozen members attend his weekly White House study. He said, "These are godly individuals that God has risen to a position of prominence in our culture. It's the best Bible study I've ever taught in my life. They are so teachable, noble, they're so learned." He says he believes the regular study is the first formal one in the White House in at least 100 years. Wow, I think that's awesome. The Christian leader spoke highly of Pence, likening him to key biblical leaders whom God raised up to the second highest spot in government, including Joseph, Daniel, and Mordecai. I'm just about out of time. So let me just end with this. I believe Drollinger is biblically qualified, and that's why he's under heat. And please pray for him and our president, and I will be back with you to talk about Norman Vincent Peale next week. God bless.